Hello, Autism Warrior, and welcome to Barefoot Autism Warriors podcast. I'm Ninka Bernadette Mauritsen, and I am here to tell you that autism is a consciousness test, it's a wake-up call, and it's your chance to turn your life around. And when you do, everything changes. I wanted to do this podcast episode talking about diets. I know we are talking about food a lot. I know you hear me say that autism diets don't work. That doesn't mean that we don't need to focus on food, that we don't need to exclude certain foods. But there's a right way of doing it and there's a wrong way of doing it. So if you're not seeing results from the foods that you are giving your child, you're probably doing it wrong. And it's not enough often to do gluten-free or dairy-free. And those diets, the low oxalate diets, actually most diets that are excluding big food groups, will create long-term problems. If you don't know how to do it right, will create long-term problems for you and your child. So I want you to know all the details about all the autism diets, what to be aware of, how to do it, how not to do it, and also how to avoid getting disordered with the eating and creating an eating disorder for yourself and your child in a meta perspective, if that makes sense. So let's dive into autism diets, food OCD and restriction, and how to eat right for the turnaround process. Autism diets, are you doing it right? Are you not seeing the results that you want? How to do diet in a way that actually supports the process of turning symptoms around, why it is that it sometimes doesn't work, and how to avoid getting too extreme so that you're too rigid, too restrictive. And by being too restrictive, you actually work against recovery and against healing and against nourishing and healing the microbiome. So let's dive into it. Also, to avoid this sense of creating an eating disorder for the whole family because you can't eat anything and because you become afraid of food. This happens to a lot of autism families, as well as a lot of autism families who experience the opposite, that they really struggle to make the decision to take away foods that other children have and that they like to eat, so cookies and cakes and pizza and pasta, all those things. So, by the way, my name is Ninka Bernadette Mauritsen. I'm the founder of barefootautismwarriors.com. I live here in my tiny home with my two sons. And my oldest son was recovered. He lost all his symptoms between 2004 and 2008. And you can follow along for more information about that. Now, autism diets, it's a hot topic and it's a very misunderstood topic in many cases and in many instances. My son's symptoms absolutely did disappear partly because of what we stopped eating. But if you are not experiencing the results that you want from a gluten-free diet or a dairy-free diet, you might say, well, I did that, it didn't help. There's probably a reason why it didn't help in most cases, because gluten and dairy is not beneficial for basically most children on the spectrum. So gluten and dairy, I'm not going to dive too much into that, but gluten and dairy have several issues that we want to avoid when it comes to autism symptoms. They have an opioid effect, which makes the children either super dopey or super hyper, because it actually enters into the bloodstream, especially through a leaky gut system, where the body then looks at this strange, partly broken down chain of amino acids, and it doesn't recognize it as food, and it sees these opioids floating around the system and starts attacking own tissue as well. So not only do you have the opioid, which is like a narcotic effect of gluten and dairy, but you also have the immune response, where the immune system just mistakes these food items as enemies, and sometimes
it's so similar to own tissue that the immune system actually starts attacking its own tissue, and you'll never know what part of the body that the immune system will attack, and you won't necessarily see the effect in the beginning. But maybe long term it will be skin issues, it can be gut issues, it can be degenerative issues, even breaking down the gut lining over time. So it's not just Crohn's, it's not just celiac disease, it can be non-celiac reactions and intolerances. So the child might experience things like, that seems like asthma symptoms, that happened to my child, both of my children actually, and when we removed gluten and dairy, those symptoms went away and they actually didn't need asthma medication after that. Gluten and dairy, so dairy in particular is a highly inflammatory food, it's particularly the traditionally farmed dairy. And so for my children, it shows up immediately, and for me as well, as acne or mucus or coughing or infections a couple of days later. So you know, don't necessarily experience any gut issues, but it can be any type of issues, and it can be anywhere from 1 week after having exposed the body to this to years down the line. That's why for me, it's a safe thing is to just exclude it overall, particularly in the first years of your turnaround journey. If your gluten and dairy free diet hasn't worked, it's probably because you haven't been 100% consistent with it. Because with gluten, it's either or. You cannot have just a minor, tiny exposure every once in a while. So if the child is out and about and you don't know what the child is eating, if this child have as much as a crouton, you're back to scratch when it comes to gluten. It's like 100%, you have to cut it out. And for at least a year to see full effect. Because the first 6 months to 10 months, the body simply gets out of an extremely stressful situation and gets into repair mode. So you won't be able to see much effect of a completely dairy and gluten-free diet until you have done this 100% for at least a year. Then you gotta think about glutamates. And people who don't see results from a gluten and dairy-free diet, they often need to exclude glutamates as well. And glutamates are neuroexcitatory, so they will cause aggression and anger and agitation and anxiety. And glutamates are in a lot of foods that these children eat. Crisps, chips, bone broth, protein powder, probiotics, all processed foods, anything that's been heated up to a high temperature, anything with MSG in it. But there's a lot of foods with a lot of high levels of glutamates naturally as well in them that you need to avoid if you want to avoid tantrums and aggression and rigidity and agitation. So if you haven't excluded glutamates, that's probably why the gluten and dairy free diet doesn't work. It doesn't mean that you still don't need to exclude gluten and dairy. Another thing to think about are the things that have gluten in them that we think are gluten free or have similar effects, which will be most oat products, even the gluten-free ones. Many of the gluten-free bread and dairy alternatives have another problem. So then if you go gluten-free and dairy-free and you have a lot of processed gluten-free bread, or you give your child almond milk, for example, a lot of almond milk or other plant-based milks, or you bake bread with nut butter and nut flour instead. These food items are high in copper, and copper have the same effect on the body as gluten and dairy. So aggression, anxiety, agitation, violent behavior can be linked to copper overload based on an overdose of the copper-rich foods that you then give your child because you think, now I'm doing something healthy for my child, and you don't understand why it doesn't work. Well, that might actually be because of what you replace your gluten and dairy with. So think about limiting those nut and seed-based products and the processed gluten and dairy-free foods. So these are some of the things you need to take into consideration when it comes to doing it right. Then we have the whole issue of making this decision for your child. I have a lot of moms who feel sad about denying their children the same cookies and pizza and candy that they are handed out in school and at parties or in church or wherever that might be. And I hear moms say, well, I don't want him to feel more different. I don't want him to not have the same fun as other children and be more of an outsider, because he's already dealing with being an outsider and being different. And I just have to say one really important thing about that. If you feel that it's bad to make that decision for your child, and so you let your child have those foods, like food dyes, processed foods, glutamates, gluten, dairy, what you are actually doing is that you are impairing growth. You are limiting this child's ability to learn and take in information, because you will create neuroinflammation and excitatory effects and aggression and inflammation. So this child will not be able, due to the effect of the food, will not be able to learn, take in information, process information. It will limit social skills and emotional control. I saw that very clearly with my child. Even to this day, when he has gluten accidentally or by choice, if he cheats with it, you can determine that just by looking at him and monitor his behavior. He is different. He gets more rigid. He gets unpleasant to be around. He regresses. And so we think we are helping our children fit in by giving them the foods that's making them fit in, but then long-term damaging their ability to learn and develop social skills, learn and have emotional control, and stop being so rigid and ritualistic, which might have given them a chance to develop healthy friendships or even have a partner later in life, or fit into the workspace, or have a job or take a driver's license long term. So we really got to think long term rather than short term when it comes to this. Finally, I want to touch on the eating disorder part, because that's definitely a risk to become too extreme, too rigid, and too restrictive with food. Many of us as moms, when we have seen our child get sick from oxalates, some another topic for another day, but some foods are rich and high in oxalates, and that can cause bedwetting and tantrums as well. And so, the candida feeding foods that some moms exclude because they don't want this drunkenness, drunk behavior that can come with candida feeding foods. If a child's got candida, this fungus in the body, that can cause strange behavioral patterns as well. But if we just exclude all these foods that are high in oxalates or that might potentially feed candida, I see moms exclude potatoes, fruit, berries, bread, fiber, you know, all the things like banana, healthy foods, fiber-rich foods, the starchy foods that actually feed the gut and educate the gut and train the gut to crave more and more healthy foods, micronutrients. It's a really bad idea to become too restrictive and too rigid with the food. The more you exclude the macronutrients and micronutrients from the child's diet, the less the microbiome is actually able to produce the enzymes to break down those foods, which means the child's ability to deal with food gets increasingly limited. At some point, when I was recovering my child, we were avoiding potatoes, fruit, bread, basically carbs. It was like a keto, paleo diet. And it ended up being so extreme that my child couldn't handle any foods. If you did a food intolerance panel, which is it's total nonsense, don't ever do that. It's useless. It won't tell you anything because the results are so different from day to day. But it turned out my child couldn't handle any food at the end. And we all looked extremely unhealthy. We were too skinny. We had black circles under the eyes. and skin and hair quality was not good because we did not, our microbiome was not fed all the different varieties of food that the microbiome needed in order to stay healthy. You need all types of fats, all types of fruits, all types of berries, all types of starchy vegetables. You need rice, you need potatoes, you need bananas, you need blueberries, you need apples, you need pears, you need bananas. The different types of soldiers in the microbiome need different types of food. So don't be too restrictive. Also because we have a diet culture in society in general, and that diet culture can be rampant in the autism mom community as well, where we are super afraid of most foods. Many moms limit bread and fruit and carbs, even rice, starchy vegetables, because they think they're going to get fat from it. Many autism moms avoid almost all these healthy, starchy carbs that are so important for you to have a flexible metabolism as well, to be able to shift from burning carbs to burning fats and vice versa, and to feed the microbiome. We got to be super careful not to become extreme or rigid with the food, because it's long term, it has a negative effect on your metabolism. It makes it harder and harder for you to actually metabolize and deal with carbs. It makes it difficult for you to have an optimal microbiome, and it's really difficult for you to get your child the nutrients that it needs to grow and to have a strong immune system, a stable appetite. And if we exclude all these things, the cravings for the junky foods or the processed foods will be that much higher. The final point I want to make is that if your child's a picky eater, it has to do often with lack of zinc deficiency, lack of leadership for us as moms, where we struggle to set boundaries and be good examples by lived experience. And we have a tough time setting boundaries, and we don't like when our children get mad at us, and we don't like when they get sad about things, but it is also part of life. We need to set those boundaries, and we need to be comfortable with anger. We need to be comfortable with making unpopular decisions, because if we want our children to fit in and we don't want to make those unpopular decisions, long term we create a problem for our children. Not only do they become really spoiled and they think that they are the leaders in the family, which is super stressful for children, but also we actually accidentally and unconsciously create more health problems, more mental problems, more social problems, and more family dynamic problems long term. So I hope this was useful. And if you have any questions or comments, please post them below, and I'll be happy to get into a conversation with you, whether you agree with me or not. Just want to say again, I'm the founder of Barefoot Autism Warriors. I am taking this cabin off grid with my children. My son is building outside. And I provide videos with content that has to do with how I turned my son's symptoms around between 2004 and 2008. And I'm helping moms all over the world do the same every single day. So I hope to see you again soon.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. I really love the podcast. I love communicating with you every week. I love the feedback that I get. And if you feel like working with me, you can send me an email at any point in time at contact@barefootautismwarriors.com, and in the subject line you can write help or support me, and we can come up with a strategy for your child. You can also go to barefootautismwarriors.com and click on free resources to download my free ebooks. And if you want to work with me personally, also send me an email with the same subject line, and I will also receive any suggestion you have for a podcast episode that you want me to record, or some help that I can provide for you. This is my passion. Ever since I recovered my son from tantrums, rigidity, eloping, stimming, sleepless nights, aggression, and all those things, I feel like giving back, and I do that in this podcast and on my website, barefootautismwarriors.com, and on YouTube and Instagram as well. I also have a free Facebook group if you want to join us there, as Barefoot Autism Warriors as well. See you next time.